We're going to continue what we started last Sunday night, and we're going to preach probably, last week, tonight, and probably one more Sunday night on a little series, a little three-week series, Overcoming the Fear Factor. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I subtitled this, The Greatest Hindrance to Soul Winning, and I think it is. The Greatest Hindrance to Soul Winning, Overcoming the Fear Factor. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 1. Notice this, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now read that with me, all right? Here we go, ready? The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you asking, Lord, that you would give us help. Lord, whatever it would be in our lives that would hinder us from being a bold witness, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to overcome those things and to see the importance of overcoming those things. Lord, if we could just send out from this place each and every Sunday 150, 200 bold, vibrant witnesses for Jesus Christ, Lord, I just can't believe that wouldn't make a difference in this community. I just can't believe that wouldn't increase the number of souls we see saved, the number of folks we see attend church, and Lord, more important, to help folks to avoid an eternity in a devil's hell. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us, wherever we happen to be, wherever we're at in this process of growth, in this area of witnessing and being a bold witness, I pray that you would help us to incorporate these Bible principles so that we can better serve you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. Real quickly, let me review what we covered last Sunday. I told you that I was going to give you, and I think there's probably about 12 Bible principles that I'm going to give you that if you will incorporate them into your life, will help you to be a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we should let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I think that we need to verbalize our belief in Jesus Christ. We need to witness to those that are lost. We need to have the boldness to do that. There's many, many people that are, I think, hindered by this spirit of fear. That did not come from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 is very clear on that. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So if you're controlled by a spirit of fear, as far as you have a difficult time in sharing the gospel, talking to people about Jesus Christ, passing out a gospel tract, and the thing that's holding you back is fear, then that did not come from God. God's spirit produces, the verse goes on to say, power and love and a sound mind. And if we could get some Christians turned loose on society that had the power of God on their life and were powerful witnesses for Jesus Christ, that had the spirit of love, love people so much and love lost souls and love the Savior to the point where, you know what people said about them or didn't say about them doesn't really matter. What they're concerned about is getting the gospel and trying to keep somebody from a devil's hell. And then of a sound mind. And you know, the honest truth is, when you're witnessing to someone, I think that you do need to have a sound mind, a soundness of mind, a clarity of thought. You know, you have to go through a process. You have to not only be concentrating and giving the gospel out, but you have to be in tune to the Holy Spirit as far as watching their reaction and answering their questions. And boy, people will ask you some of the wildest questions and throw curveballs at you and try to get you off track and say things. And sometimes you don't know the answer to those questions. But it really takes a clarity of mind for the Holy Spirit to be able to clear your mind, allow you to think and remember things, and the Holy Spirit bring verses to mind and ways to answer maybe and remove an obstacle that may be preventing someone from receiving Jesus. Now that's what we need if we're going to be effective in this area of witnessing. We need to have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the arch enemy of those things is the spirit of fear. Now let me review what we covered just real quickly last week. Number one, adopt the ultimate goal of the Christian life, and that is to be like Jesus. It's said about Jesus Christ, but lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? And we mentioned the fact that Jesus Christ was no coward. And if we are going to be like Jesus, if that's what being a Christian means, is to be like Jesus, then in this area of boldness, we must We must develop a boldness, a Holy Spirit boldness in our life, because that is the example that was left to us by our Savior. Remember the ad campaign that they had several years ago when Michael Jordan was popular? Be like Mike, be like Mike. And all the kids decided that they were going to be like Mike. And they bought his jerseys and went out and tried to do the things that he did on the basketball court. And that's what the world's going to do. And then they'll trade him off for someone else. And it'll be someone else. And it'll be someone else. Well, for the Christian, it just never changes. Your goal and my goal is to be like Jesus. And you know what? Next year, it's supposed to be like Jesus. And popular icons come and go. And people follow this little superhero and that little superhero. But you know what? A Christian just says, you know what? The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus Christ. I'm going to put my eyes on him. And I'm going to do the best I can to try to reproduce his character traits into my life. And Jesus certainly was bold in his preaching of the gospel and sharing the truth. Number two, spend every day, time every day studying Jesus. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. I encourage you in this matter of reading the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, becoming the 13th disciple, spending time with Christ. You will be moved and changed and transformed by spending every day in the presence of Jesus. And then to spend that time at the throne of grace, of course, praying, asking for Holy Spirit boldness. We'll talk a little bit more about that today. And number three, I said this, read often all four accounts of the crucifixion of Christ. We talked about Joseph of Arimathea, which the Bible says was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. And then later, he went in and boldly, the Bible says, went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And we determined that what turned his life around was the fact that he watched Jesus crucified. And I think there's something about going back to Calvary. You know, about the time we say, well, I just can't, then we see what Jesus did, what he was willing to do for us, and it just makes our excuses kind of shrink real little. Well, I might be humiliated. Well, he was hung naked on a cross. He was stripped and beaten. The Bible says his visage was so marred that you couldn't even, on the cross, you looking at it, you couldn't even tell it was a man. He did that for me, and all he's asking is for me to pass the track out from time to time, or speak up when somebody asks, or share the gospel, or stop a waitress and say, let me ask you something. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And take those opportunities. And so there's something about going to Calvary, and I really mean that. I think that's why the communion service is important here at the church, because the communion service is really a time where we quiet the entire church and we transport the entire local body assembly in mind and spirit back to Calvary. Very simplified, that's what the communion service is all of us stopping and all of us in our minds going back to Calvary and remembering the body of Christ that was broken. Remember the shed blood. And there's something about that. It emboldens and should embolden the church. So it's a very important time for our church to do that. Now let me give you some other things tonight in this matter of boldness. Brother Jerry, I struggle in this area. Well, you're not alone. Every single person, every single Christian to a certain extent struggles in this area of being as bold as they ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may see somebody that you just think is so bold. Well, let me share something with you. They probably didn't become that way overnight. They probably incorporated some of the things into their lives that we're teaching. And if you'll begin to do those things, you will progress in this area of boldness. I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Don't quit. Well, I just can't. Yes, you can. And if you can't do this, then do this. And we'll talk about that, because I think boldness and learning boldness is a progression. Now, number four, let me give you this, because I think it's very important. When I was seeking the Lord's help in this area of my life and doing a Bible study, Proverbs 28:1 was very pivotal in helping me in this turning point of becoming a bold Christian. Proverbs 28:1 says this, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth." So wickedness or unconfessed sin will make a coward out of you every time. But it says this, but the righteous is bold as a lion. Now, folks, listen. We know the Bible well enough to know that there's none of us that in our own self are righteous. There's none of us that are righteous in and of ourselves. If we're going to be righteous, it's going to be through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people have trouble. Let me just break this down into two parts. Sometimes people have trouble being a bold Christian because they have never been saved. He's never been saved. Even on the eternal record, they're still unrighteous. They're still wicked on their eternal record. Now, when you get saved, of course, your sins are washed away, and in the eyes of God, you are righteous, the righteousness of Christ. This is very interesting, by the way, and it's very, you know, there's a record in heaven. And here we have a record on of all that we've done, all of our sins and everything that we've done. And when we're saved, a lot of times what people say is, you know what, all of those sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen, and they are. But what's fascinating about this, folks, is it goes a step farther than that. Not only are all of your sins washed away, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ is placed on your record. Now, that's amazing. So when the devil comes up and accuses us before God, God said, well, let me see his record. Well, I don't see any of that. Matter of fact, I see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you that I'm not going to have to stand before God, and whether or not I get into heaven is based on what I've done or my record, because I'm a mess. But so first of all, make sure that you're saved. Honestly, I think we just can't run past this. I don't think that any preacher, and I don't really like it when I feel like an evangelist or guest preacher comes in and the whole sermon is designed to try to get people to doubt their salvation and to get people to come forward again just so that they can put some notches on their gun and tell a story about, listen, I'm not about that. I don't think that we ought to design anything to try to get saved people to get to the point where they feel like they're no longer saved. But I do think that it is very fair and it's very biblical from time to time to challenge all of us to, as the Bible says, let a man examine himself and to look back and make sure and ask the Holy Spirit of God to bear witness. By the way, it's the Spirit, capital S, that bears witness with our spirit, small s, that we are the sons of God. And the Holy Spirit of God, if you'll pray and you'll read your Bible, someone said, well, I have doubts about my salvation. Well, one of the things, here's a $100,000 question. Is it the devil trying to get you to doubt that you're saved? Or is it the Holy Spirit convicting you that you are not saved? And that's the dilemma we face. Well, how do I know this? What do I know to do? My advice is always the same. I think you ought to read the Bible and spend some time in prayer, but especially time reading the Bible, because the one thing that the devil can't stand against is the Word of God. We've proved that. You all know that, right? I mean, when Jesus took on the devil, he just started quoting Scripture. And if you'll go through the Bible and read the assurance verses, and go through the Bible and read these verses, you know what? That gives the Holy Spirit ammunition to either help you to bear witness with your spirit that you are the child of God and give you that sweet assurance, or it will deepen the conviction upon your heart that you're not truly saved. I believe that, by the way. And I think that's a process you need to go through. If you're having doubts, by the way, you're not the first Christian in the world that's had doubts about their salvation. You're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you, but you shouldn't live like that. You need to, in one way or another, settle that thing. Because one of the things that's going to keep you from being... Here's a thought. How can you be a bold witness, or how can you be concerned about the salvation of someone else if you are struggling in your own heart whether or not you're even saved? And so let me just throw that out there. Now, Christians, let's say, well, we've settled that, we are saved. Well, there is a positional righteousness and there's practical righteousness. This matter that we talked about this morning of washing our feet, Brother Joe. You know, that daily cleansing, confessing, picking up all that you pick when you just walk through this world. And we need to stay right with God. Young people, you need to stay right with God. Now, this is important. That means in the last 24 hours or 48 hours, probably in the last 12 hours, or if you're like me, 2 hours or 10 minutes, if you haven't gone to the Lord, not talk about it, but actually do it. Not know to do it, but actually do it. And daily go before the Lord and confess your sins. And you say, well, I'm not going to remember all of them. Well, you know what? Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked thing in me. And here's the problem, folks. If we harbor unconfessed sins, or we protect and refuse to give up sinful habits, then it will affect our ability to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous. Something about being completely, I use this statement a lot when I preach camps. But I say, you know what? Don't leave this week without being completely and wholly and thoroughly right with God. Well, let's do that tonight. Don't leave the service tonight without being completely and wholly and thoroughly right with God. Oh, it's just impossible. You just don't remember. It's so much is built up. And my Bible still says, as we confess our sins, he's faithful and just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the Bible does talk about this matter of confessing and forsaking sin. If you just go to the altar and confess sin, and never forsake it, the same sin over and over again, you know what? That's not, listen, he that forsaketh, confesseth and forsaketh his sin. There's a matter of getting right with God, not just confessing it to God, but then turning your back on it, repenting it, walking away from that, asking God to give you victory in that area. Now, the wicked flee when no man pursues. You know, if you're doing something wrong, you have no courage. If you're doing something wrong, you have no courage. You know, the students I can scare the best around here is the ones I can walk up behind when they know they're not doing what they're supposed to, and all I got to do is clear my throat, and it scares them half to death. Or say their name, and it scares them half to death. You know why? Because they were in the process of either not doing what they're supposed to do or doing something they weren't supposed to do. But if a student is sitting there and they're obeying the rules and studying, and I walk up and I call their name, you know what they'll say? Yes, Brother Jerry? Or yes, Pastor Jerry? And you know what? I didn't scare them. You know why? Because they have no reason to be scared. Does this make sense to you? It's like when I drove through late night, I was coming back from Indianapolis. I tell this story a lot, but it's so funny. Late night in October, several years ago, I was coming back from Indianapolis doing some hospital visiting and pulled down the corner there in Clay City and noticed there were some boys sneaking around on Main Street, so I kind of just pulled over the side. And it was around Halloween time, and they were walking up and down and looking and checking. And you can almost tell when boys are up to no good, you know. Now, girls, you can't tell so much, but usually you just figure most of the time they're up to no good is the way I do that. But boys, it just shows all over, and they're sneaking and looking around. You know, it's like when you're trying to look innocent, you're not. And all of a sudden, they walk in front of a business, and they look around, and they don't see anything. And I'd turned the car lights off and was sitting there on Main Street watching them. And all of a sudden, they reach in their pocket and get soap out and start soaping the windows. And so what I did was I flipped the lights on and blared the horn and hit the gas all at the same time and spilled out, and they threw the soap up in the air and took off running as fast as they could. By the way, I just took off about 10 feet and stopped and just kept blaring the horn, and they ran into each other and then got up, ran and down and over into an alley and took off, and they're probably still running right now. They're out there running, scared them half to death. You know why? Because they were up to no good. They were doing something they shouldn't do, and because of that, they had no boldness. And by the way, I just blared the horn and hit the lights and then stopped. I wasn't even chasing them. The wicked flee when, no man pursueth, you know. I mean, all you got to say is boo and they run. And but that's the way we walk around. I had to step up and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, we've got all this unconfessed sin. Let me just bring it real practical to us. If you're in the workplace, gentlemen, you know what? You're not going to be able to work, have a hard time witnessing to your co-laborers on Thursday if on Wednesday you sat there and listened to a dirty joke they told and laughed with them about it. You're going to have a hard time witnessing to your co-workers, or ladies, or you're going to have a hard time witnessing to the next door neighbor on Monday if on Saturday you were back by the back fence gossiping with her. I'm just telling you, sin binds us. Well, I can't speak up about Jesus because they know me, and I, you know what I really suggest? I mean this. You know, well, then I just can't. Yes, you can. You know, sometimes what we need to do is just come clean with God and come clean with man. And, you know, sometimes sitting down with somebody that you haven't been a very good witness or testimony in front of and say, you know what, I really need to ask you to forgive me about something. Could I just ask you this? And, you know, we've worked together for a long time. We know each other. And you know what? I've not always acted. I'm ashamed to say this, but I've not always acted very much like a Christian. But I am a Christian. And I want to ask you to forgive me for that. I should have. There's a lot of things that I've said in the past, and it's really bothered me, and I want your forgiveness. By the way, you do that, and you'll have a platform from which to share the gospel with them. You see, folks, so sometimes we just need to get something. And it's all right. We're all there. All right, we all live in these same sinful bodies. Sometimes we just need to sometimes say some things and get some things right. And that's why it's a big deal. Folks, listen, it really is a big deal about the way we live and the way we are in front of the lost world. It really is a big deal. This is a matter I talked to you this morning about separation being the oldest doctrine in the Bible. And all the way back, one of the oldest doctrines in the Bible, all the way back to the first day of creation. And God created the light and the darkness, and he separated them. And he called one light, one dark. You know, we really are supposed to set like a city that's set on the hill. I mean, there are people walking around in the dark world, and they need to look and see something obvious and different and not like the rest of the world. And if we are living right and doing right, then you know what? They're going to be drawn to that light. Get off this idea of trying to blend in with the world. Get away from that idea of just trying to blend in. Young people, stop worrying about trying to blend in with the world. Honestly, it affects all areas of our lives. We look and see what the world's doing. And what's the latest fad in the world? And what the world thinks is cool? And then we go and try to do the same thing so that we can just blend. Well, you're supposed to be light in darkness, not darkness in darkness. And all that is, you're still the light. But the Bible says that's like putting a bushel over that light and people can't see. And so step up, step out, be what you're supposed to be, and clean. Listen, you know, it's good for each and every one of us sometimes just to have an old-fashioned house cleaning, heart cleaning, thoroughly, completely, fully getting right with Almighty God. I mean that. That's so important. That's so important. I pray that you'll consider that. Because somebody's eternal destination may... Oh, Brother Jerry, this little sin don't matter. That little sin. I just think this is a minor point. This is insignificant. This, you know, we've just made all these excuses till if we look around, we're just kind of surrounded by this mess. And we've lost our distinctives, our Christian distinctives. So be very careful about that. All right, so this matter of the righteous being bold as a lion. You know, we'll take a young person to camp sometimes, and they'll thoroughly, wholly, and completely get right with God at camp. Let me tell you something. The week before they went to camp on visitation, they were kind of hum-ho, drag their feet, talk, goof around, pass tracts out, maybe go with somebody they know will do the talking. But you get them thoroughly, wholly, and fully right for God, it's amazing in 1 week's time what the difference is when they go out and start knocking on doors. Because there's something about being clean that gives you boldness. Now listen, Saturday morning visitation. You know what? We ought to spend some time cleaning our hearts before we go. Bus visitation. Are you listening to me? Bus visitation. We ought to spend, if you're going to go represent Christ, then get thoroughly, completely, and wholly right with God. I'm not saying to just wait till that time, but make sure that you are during those times. And we need to move on. All right? Number whatever. Number five. Pray for the ability to speak the word of God with boldness. Pray for the ability to speak the word of God with boldness. I'm going to have you go to Acts chapter 4. Let's go over there. Acts chapter 4. Now these are things that I hope you'll incorporate into your life. If you'll do these regularly, you'll find out that these things do produce a wonderful boldness in the life of a Christian. Let's talk about this matter of prayer. Point number 5 and 6 we're going to focus in on praying a little bit here. Purge your life of sinful, wicked habits. Number 5, pray for the ability to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 23. Let me just review what's happened here. For the first 22 verses in Acts chapter 4, there is the story of course, the persecution. Peter and John was brought before the Sanhedrin, and the persecution of the early church was starting. At this point, what they did basically was rebuke them. They did let them go, but they commanded that they no longer speak in Jesus' name. They threatened them and all of these things. Now, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Now, what they're doing here is they're having a prayer meeting. They're having a prayer meeting. I just think there's something about a prayer meeting that helps you to have a Holy Spirit boldness about you. If you're going visiting together, you ought to pray together. When we meet here every Saturday, we get up here, we get organized, and we pick out partners to go with. But you know what we always do before we leave? We pray. Because without prayer, you're not going to have the boldness you ought to have. Sometimes we get the car together, maybe you ought to have prayer real quick before you go. We started to pull out to do the veterans things yesterday. And sometimes you get so much in a hurry to go do God's work that you forget to bring God along. You know, and we're getting all the stuff piling into the van, trying to get organized and trying to get out of here. And I got just about to where we were getting ready to pull on the highway there. And Brother Hal was driving. And I said, Brother Hal, stop the van a minute. Let's pray before we go. Let's pray. There's something about an old-fashioned prayer meeting. And people getting together on their knees and praying. But notice what they prayed here. And it says here that they lifted up their voice and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. Verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Notice this. Here's the specific prayer request. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Wow. So they went to God and asked specifically. You have a prayer list, do you? Do you have some things that you pray for your family? And you probably have a personal list of things that you pray for. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for discernment. Ask God for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let me have you add something. Write on their boldness. Every day say, Lord, please grant thy servant boldness that I may speak thy word. Grant thy servant boldness that I might speak thy word. And by the way, I started doing this, and Christians that lack boldness, if you'll start doing this, you know what? Bible says that God is still a prayer answering God. And God will give you boldness. He'll answer that prayer. All of a sudden, you'll do things you didn't think you were capable of doing or wasn't able to do, didn't think you were able to do. But we ought to make that a prayer request. Close to the top of your prayer list should be the word. Put it in big, bold letters. Boldness. And ask God for it every day. Now, let me take that a step further. Ephesians chapter 6. And let me give you another prayer promise here, or an idea in this matter of prayer. Ephesians chapter number 6. Let's go there. Now, this seems like an awful lot to do, Brother Jerry, yes. And it's, you know, the Christian life. You can be a hearer or you can be a doer. And you can read the Bible and fill your mind with a bunch of things, or you can incorporate them into your life and be transformed and changed. And the honest truth is, there's no easy way to grow up in the Lord. There's no easy way to become what you ought to be. You just got to find out what God says to do and start obeying those things. Let me read verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, folks, we've just gone over this matter of the armor of God. And then let's go to verse 19. And for me, boy, isn't that interesting? Watch this. He tells them, I want you to pray. And then he says, while you're praying, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's very interesting, because Paul not only, I think, prayed for boldness himself, but he enlisted prayer warriors to pray for him, that God would grant him the boldness that he needs. By the way, I did this very thing. When I was struggling in my Christian life so much with this area of boldness, what I did was I went and enlisted some older people, some of the senior saints in our church, and I said, I want you to pray for me. Oh, I always pray for you. I know that, but I want you to pray specific prayer requests for me. Would you pray that God would grant me boldness? And by the way, if you just find three people that you have confidence in, really, if you find three people that you have confidence in, that you know just doesn't talk about praying, but you feel like they really do pray, and you'd say, would you pray for me every day? Would you put me on your prayer list? And here's the, listen, I don't want you to pray for anything else. Now, if you do, that's fine, but it's bonus. The only thing I'd really want you to pray for me about is that I would have boldness to speak the word of God when I need to do it. And you know, there's just something about getting some prayer support, folks. Now think about it. You get up in the morning before you leave the house. Oh, God, give me boldness. By the way, Lord, help my heart to be clean and right. Lord, I don't want to be cowardly. If there's something that's not right, then point it out to me. Let me get rid of it in my life, because I'm not going to be a bold Christian if I've got obvious sins and the drapings of sins. And you know, I told a boy one time, I said, you know what? It's a little hard to witness with that skull can in your pocket, isn't it? You know, there's just some things that you do, folks, that the honest truth is, you can't do those and be a bold witness. You know, well, you guys preach against all this stuff. Let me tell you why we do. If you continue in sin and you have sin, you are not going to be a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but not only then confessing your sins, but then praying and asking God for boldness. And then as you go out the day, having the confidence that there are people out there that are also praying for you and asking God to give you the boldness that you need. Isn't that interesting? Boy, we look at all that the Apostle Paul did and accomplished. Read the book of Acts. Oh my goodness sakes, what a bold Christian. What a bold Christian. I wonder how many people went to the throne of grace every day for the Apostle Paul and called out his name and said, Lord, give the Apostle Paul boldness. And you know what? I just think he had built a network of prayer support. And when he got in those situations where it would have been easier to back down than step up, he just had so much prayer support that God gave him the strength to do what he needed to do. So I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. And I would encourage you to do that. If you really are struggling in this area, go find those people. Ask people in the church. Ask people, godly people. Maybe you've got a godly grandma, godly grandpa. Say, would you pray for me? And while you're praying for me, would you pray that I would be bold? Paul enlisted the church of Ephesus to pray for him concerning this area of his life. And so in addition to praying for boldness yourself, you should seek prayer support of people around you. Number 7, let's go to Acts chapter 4. We were there a second ago, but let's go back there. Boy, I hope you're being helped by this. Folks, put these things into practice. Do these things. It'll help you. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 31. Let's continue on. Matter of fact, we stopped at verse number 29, and I kind of did that on purpose. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Remember, they're praying. They're in this prayer meeting. Wonderful things are happening. And verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. Notice that he continues then, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Notice this, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, several things happened, but I want to give you number 7 here. I think that if you want to have boldness, we always talk about Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost boldness, then you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, this isn't something spooky, but this is something that you ought to pray and seek. Remember when we were talking about the fruits of the Spirit? Over and over and over again, I taught this in our adult Sunday school class, and some of you, of course, many of the young people aren't in here. But I would talk about this matter of how do you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, you got to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's not seeking that the Holy Spirit will come inside of you. He's already there. It's not praying and asking for more of the Holy Spirit, because he's a person, not a liquid or a gas. You don't get more or less of him. He's either there or he's not. If you're saved, he now resides inside of you. And he wants to give you boldness. But here's the problem. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're filled with other things. So I continue to teach you on this matter of how many times did you hear your preacher say this in that series? We need to empty ourselves of sin and empty ourselves of self. If you can get rid of those two S, you know what? Then you make room for the third S, the capital S Spirit, to fill you up. But folks, this matter of emptying ourselves of self and sin and then praying and seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now again, this isn't some weird thing. I'm not charismatic. There's so many false doctrines are being propagated, and this is being mistreated. But let me say this at the same time, we can't be scared off the doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Spirit just because some people are misusing or misteaching that doctrine. Baptist people need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Baptist people need to be, well, I tell you what, I believe that you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved, and I've got him. That's right. Now let me ask you a question. Does he got you? That's kind of poor English, but does he got you? And we talk about, oh yeah, we got the doctrine straight and everything. You know what? When you get saved, you get him. Yeah, that's true. But you know what? When you get saved, he don't necessarily get you. You've got to turn some things over. You got to surrender some areas. So one man said, is he a resident or the president? Is he a resident? Or the president? You know, sometimes we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but we grieve him. Sometimes we quench him. Ananias and Sapphira went so far as to tempt him. And I'm fearful in this day and age. I'm fearful that there's Christians that are tempting the Holy Spirit of God. They're living such backslidden lives. And they lied to the Holy Spirit. And they tempted the Holy Spirit of God. And God ended up taking them on to heaven. They were saved people as far as we know. He took them on to heaven. But this idea that we get saved and the Holy Spirit of God comes into us, then we just shove him down in some little corner. And every time he speaks, shh, I don't want to hear that. And every time he says, go to an altar, I don't want to hear that. And every time he convicts about, hey, this isn't right, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, you know what? You're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And so we want to ignore him in this area. Then before we go soul winning, oh, God, fill me so I can go win somebody. Holy Spirit's like, every time I bring something up, you tell me, shh, now you want help? You know, folks, you can't have some of the benefits of the Holy Spirit. You get all of them or none of them, honestly. But during an invitation, sometimes I feel like I need to go forward. Well, let me tell you something. That's just not some feeling. If that's the Holy Spirit prompting you to go forward, then you know what you ought to do. You ought to come forward and pray. Well, I don't even know why he wants me to go. Well, you don't have to know why. You just need to learn to obey. Well, Jerry, for some reason, I can't get my next door neighbor off my mind. I wonder who's doing that. I can't get my uncle off my mind. I wonder who's doing that. For some reason, this certain person keeps coming up, and I just feel like I keep thinking about him. Think I ought to go visit. I wonder who's doing that. You know, it'd be a great thing if you just open up a dialogue with the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can talk to him. You can talk to God the Father. You can talk to Jesus. I suppose you can talk to the Holy Spirit. He is God. You know, it's like having somebody living right here and I never speak to him. I'll tell you, there's been some bad teaching in this area. You're supposed to pray to God through the name of the Holy Spirit, or to God in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I can only talk to God. I can't talk to the Holy Spirit. I thought he was God. By the way, he's the part of God that's right here. I can't say anything to him. You know what? The charismatics have scared us too bad. There's a part of God indwelling in me, and I'm not supposed to say anything to him. I'm not supposed to listen to him. Yeah, a lot of times when I'm praying, I'll say, oh, dear Holy Spirit of God, help me in this matter. You know why? Because I ask him to help me in the areas that he's been sent to help me in. And I surrender myself and ask for that help and plead for that help. And I plead for the, oh, dear Holy Spirit of God, please fill me. Please fill me. Most of the time, I'm not saying every time because I'm human. Most of the time before I walk in here to pray, I've had some time where I've tried to allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill me. I don't want to come up here and preach in my power of the flesh. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when I go out and witness, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, folks. You know, Brother Jerry, it just seems like all of this keeps coming back to a handful of things. It really does. It's a matter of getting some things right in our lives so that sin doesn't make a coward out of us. It's a matter of praying and asking the Holy Spirit of God to fill us, praying and asking for boldness, asking other people to pray. You know, are you figuring this out? It's just hard to be a bold Christian if you're not right in some areas. And so that's why the devil, I think, works so hard, folks, to get us to the point where we start harboring some bitterness or we get a pet sin or whatever it is. You know, there's some things creep into our life, come to our life. We pick up some bad habits. Young people, we are on you about your music and different things. Well, it's not that big. It's just not a big deal. I don't understand these churches preach against certain kinds of music. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's hard to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be listening to music all the time that blasphemes God. Okay? I mean, it really is. You know, whether it's rock and roll. I mean, don't get upset with me. All right. You do it. Do it tomorrow. Turn on your country western station. And I want you to put a piece of paper where you can jot down, and every time a song comes on, I want you to write down the name of that song and the main message of that song. Just do it. Now stop getting mad at me when I preach on this and do it. Do it. And then at the end of the day, look at all of the things that you've let be put into your mind all day long. And then you're going to say, now Holy Spirit, fill me. He said, you're already filled with a bunch of junk. You spent all day filling your brain with a bunch of junk. There's no way for me to take control now. Get that out of your life. Get that sin out of your life. Folks, listen to me. Music is a powerful thing. It controls your spirit. It controls a lot of things. And you do have to be careful. I mean, listen, it's no mystery. Anybody in here with a little bit of sense and ever been to the mall where the radio is on? You ever been to the gas station where a country western station is on? You know about every other song is propagating some wicked type of lifestyle. Okay, same thing with this pop, cultural pop rock and the hip hop and everything else. I mean, just do it. By the way, let me just give you a challenge. Some of you, you know, you're stubborn, you're not going to change, so God bless you. But I wish you'd give God a chance. I really do. I wish you, by the way, you won't change, but if you don't agree with me, come afterwards and sit down with me and tell me about the souls you've won recently. Yes. Tell me how many tracts you've passed out recently. Tell me people you've got to come to church with you recently. Whose life are you impacting for the Lord Jesus Christ? Tell me about how bold your witness is. This book doesn't lie. Buddy, I had to come to a conclusion as a young man that if I was going to have the boldness of God on my life, then I was going to have to clean house.
Boy, it's a wonderful point when you get the point in your life where you honestly, sincerely, this isn't just a verse, it's a prayer. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. You know, here's a good thing to get to the point in your life where you say, God, you point at it, and it's gone.
Amen.
You point at it and tell me you don't want it there, and it's gone. Point at it. Show me, tell me, anything. Because pleasing you is more important than pleasing my carnal appetites. You see, and when you get to that point, folks, I'm just telling you, I would love for you to take on a little experiment, a little challenge. Some of you are addicted to these types of musics. You're addicted to it. You absolutely are. If I could tell you this, if I could get you to do this, if I could get you for 3 weeks to promise me and promise God, promise the Holy Spirit of God, absolutely stick to it. For 3 weeks, you refuse to listen to whatever kind of music you're addicted to. And instead, by the way, there always has to be the principle of replacement. Instead of that, you will take good, wholesome. By the way, we got a bunch of it back here now, thanks to the tape room guys. And you can order the choir specials and special music. And, man, I've got tapes and CDs in my office that people give me all the time. Some of them aren't even open, honestly. If you would just say, I'm going to take a stack of 10 or 15 good, solid Christian CDs or tapes, and that's what I'm going to listen to every chance. Just like I would have listened to the other, I'm going to replace it. Now, here's what you're going to find out. I promise you, just do it for 3 weeks. Just do it for 3 weeks. Try it. Okay, and if I'm wrong, come back and say, Brother Jerry, you were wrong. Didn't make a bit of difference in my life. Try it. And by the way, you do that for 3 weeks, then you go back and you go to turn on that other stuff. And buddy, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God has been pushed back in a corner, has been exalted and had that good stuff to work with, and it's got a firm footing in your life. And all of a sudden that stuff you turn on, I'm going to tell you something, it won't sound the same and it won't be the same.
Amen.
It won't be the same. It won't. You'll try to go back to it, and you know what? The Holy Spirit of God will say, don't do that. Don't grieve me again. Don't quench me again. Get away from that stuff. And you will be more bold in your witness. You'll be more aware of things you need to get right in your life. You'll be more aware of the presence of God in your life. Listen, it makes a difference. It really does. In this matter of purging our life from sinful habits, praying for the ability to speak the word of God with boldness, enlisting some other people, please pray with me and for me. Would you do that? And constant seeking of the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, as we continue our study, that you'd bless it and help it, help each and every one of us, Lord. And I think the desire's there, Lord. I believe that's present in the heart of every single Christian. Lord, sometimes it may flicker down or be pushed down, but there's not a truly born-again, saved individual that in their heart of hearts do not have a burden for lost people. They may do nothing about it, but there is a concern for people that are not saved. And from time to time, the Holy Spirit brings that to our mind. We'll see somebody and think, I wonder what's going to happen to them, or, man, they're not saved, or, man, they're going to die one of these days. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to do the right things that would help us then to be able to be as bold a witness as we possibly can for you. Now, Lord, we can't do it without you. This isn't something, it's not a matter of willpower or psyching ourselves up or trying to do it in the power of the flesh. Lord, that lasts for no time at all. And it's not real and it's not true and it's never been blessed. And I pray, Lord, that our boldness would come from the right means and the right methods, that we would allow you to take over our lives and take over our hearts. Help us to spend more time in your presence than we ever have. Help us to spend more time in the book than we ever have. Help us, Lord, in this matter of seeking out and praying for this, for boldness, for communicating with your Holy Spirit, checking to make sure that there's not things in our lives that are grieving the Holy Spirit of God, quenching the Holy Spirit of God, and the power and the love and the sound mind that he wants to produce in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.